Herzlich willkommen zu dieser Botschaft der Freien Christengemeinde Wels.
I want to start with a short story. On the screen you can see the picture of a man called Otto Kuning. And for many years he was a missionary to rural people in Indonesia. And he has many very interesting stories about his experience with the natives in that country. And one of my favorite ones is called the pineapple story. And he had many problems with the natives stealing his things continuously. You know, they didn't wear clothes and they used spears. They are like real native people. And the next day he comes to them and they are wearing his clothes. And he says, "Why are you wearing my clothes? On this island, nobody except me and my wife is wearing clothes. So if you are wearing clothes, I know that you've stolen my clothes. You're a good translator. I like you. You're nice and fast." And they would steal his pens, you know, his writing pens. And they put it in their nose like this. So he comes to them and he takes the pens away. And they stole his pins, you know, that you use for babies, for the diapers, the pins. And they put it in their ears. And this is a true story, really, it happened. And many years later, the heavy metal bands, they also do this. They also put in their ears the pins. So finally, the heavy metal bands are just as sophisticated as the natives on the island. But the thing that frustrated him the most was his pineapples. Because in Indonesia, where he lived, the soil was very rich, so he planted many gardens and many things. And the natives kept stealing his pineapples too early. Before it was ready, they would steal it. So on the one hand, Otto and his wife are preaching to the natives about Jesus and about loving your enemies and about love and kindness. And on the other hand, he's angry and screaming at them about his pineapples. So he says, "Jesus loves you and you need to love everybody." "But stop stealing my pineapples. Leave it alone. It's my pineapples." And this gets worse and worse and worse. And his relationship with the natives gets kind of bad because of the pineapples. And one day the Lord says to him, "You need to really let go of the pineapples." And again, this is a true story. He decides he needs to give the pineapples to God and stop worrying about the pineapples. And his attitude changes completely. And he's then a very kind of a different person. He's not angry the whole time, you know, he's more relaxed. Says, "God, I don't care about the pineapples. Let them steal it. Give them stomach cramps. I don't care. It's your pineapples." But his attitude changes. And 1 week later, I think it was about 1 or 2 weeks later, the natives came to him. And they called him Tuan, which means like sir. And they said, "Tuan, what happened to you? You are so different now." And listen to what they tell him. They say, "Tuan, we think you have become a Christian." And of course, this shocked him so much. You know, here the natives are saying to the missionary, "Your attitude has changed, and for the first time, we think you're a Christian."
Neugeborenen zu Missionar sagen, deine Einstellung hat sich völlig verändert.
And the moral of the story, I think, for all of us is very simple, that the inside is more important than the outside. And this is why I'm choosing to talk about the inner life at a conference that's about missions and about missions work. A second example I want to give you. Maybe some of you will recognize this book. Maybe raise your hand if you've ever read this book. Anybody? One, two, a few people, three people. So this is one of the best-selling business books of the last 30 or 40 years. And it's written by an American Mormon. He was a, you know, Mormon. And one of the very interesting things in the book is in the introduction, he explains how he went about researching for the book. Because the book is about habits that effective people use to manage their life. And he says what he did is he looked at the self-help or the life management literature of the last 250 years.
Und er hat sich die Literatur über Selbstmanagement der letzten 250 Jahre durchgelesen und durchgeackert.
And he noticed that for the first 200 years, since about 1780, from there on, for the first 200 years,
und in die ersten 200 Jahre lang, so von 1776, 80 sowas,
He noticed that the books really focus on the inner life, on virtues and on character. So if you read a book that was published in 1850 about your life, it focuses a lot on your character and on your virtues. And they would say things that are important are things like courage and faithfulness and integrity and humility.
Und Dinge, die da besonders hervorgehoben worden wären, wären Demut gewesen, Charakter, Integrität.
But an interesting thing happened after World War I.
Aber nach dem Ersten Weltkrieg passiert etwas Interessantes.
So about 1920, the books that are published at this time start to focus on the outside.
Ab 1920 sowas herum, da haben sich diese Bücher mehr darum gedreht, wie es außen aussieht.
And the books start focusing less on the inner life and more on kind of personality techniques that you can use. And he called it the character ethic versus the personality ethic.
Und Stephen Covey nannte das die Charakterethik versus der Persönlichkeitsethik.
And the Persönlichkeitsethik would say, for example, you know, when you go to shake somebody's hand, If you are shaking the hand, but you are lifting your hand like this, it means you are the dominant person in the relationship. No, like this. That's better. Yeah. No. And then just techniques like that. And they would focus a lot on positive thinking. Think positive and things will be good for you. And I think positive thinking is better than negative thinking, absolutely. But I think the biblical vision for a Christian is much deeper than how you shake the hand and how you think. The biblical vision, you know, the English word is sanctification. And sanctification really is about an inner transformation. And where we reach this point where we are not people who try and be good and kind. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we actually become people who are good and kind.
Aber durch die Kraft des Heiligen Geistes werden wir zu Menschen, die gut und nett sind.
This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18.
Und im 2. Korinther 3, Vers 18 sagt Paulus.
Oh, it seems my thing is broken again. Can you give maybe pass on for me? No, there we go. I'm reading the German. No, hang on. Sorry. Okay, 2. Korinther 3, Vers 18. I will read the German. Wir alle aber schauen mit aufgedecktem Angesicht die Herrlichkeit des Herrn an und werden so verwandelt in dasselbe Bild von Herrlichkeit zu Herrlichkeit, wie es vom Herrn, dem Geist, geschieht. Paul uses the word in German, it's schauen. In English, he says contemplate. And I think many people think, well, what does that mean? How do we schauen Jesus? How do we contemplate and think of Jesus?
Also, wie schauen wir das Angesicht und die Herrlichkeit des Herrn?
And I've been in many churches where people are kind of scared to say, you know, it's your duty to become holy.
Und ich war in vielen Gemeinden und das ist irgendwie nicht so populär zu sagen, es ist deine Pflicht, heilig zu werden.
And we say that because we are scared of thinking that we are not saved by grace.
Und wir haben deshalb Angst, das so zu denken.
So let me quickly share a picture with you that has helped me a lot. Maybe some of you have, I don't know if anyone has ever been on a sailboat. And if you've ever been on a sailboat, you know that you are dependent on external factors for progress. Since a sailboat, of course, does not have an engine, it is dependent on the wind.
Du brauchst Wind.
But what happens if the wind is there and the sails are not ready? And I think this is a good picture of what Paul calls us co-laboring with God. At the end of the day, it is not our effort that brings about progress and brings about sanctification. It is still the wind that drives us forward, the Holy Spirit and His work. But the sailor is still has the responsibility of getting the sails ready so that when the wind comes, there can be progress. And I think the classic spiritual disciplines are practices or tools that God has given us that really is like the sails.
Und ich glaube, dass diese Werkzeuge, die Gott uns für geistliche Disziplin gegeben hat, die sind wirklich so ähnlich wie ein Segelboot.
And I quickly want to go over really just two of them to give you a kind of a taste of some of these tools that are actually very ancient and some of them are not well known in our culture anymore.
Und ich möchte zwei dieser Werkzeuge herausheben, die eigentlich sehr altertümlich sind und heutzutage nicht mehr so gebräuchlich.
Some of them are very well known, and depending on the kind of church you go to, you know them and you practice them. And some of them, maybe we don't know at all.
Und manche kennen wir vielleicht überhaupt nicht.
And I have a list on the board here. Prayer, fasting, meditation, study.
Gebet, fasten, meditation, studieren.
Worship, simplicity, solitude, and service.
Anbetung, Einfachheit.
That's a difficult one to translate. One quick scripture I almost passed over. When it comes to this word discipline, again, in the kind of the era and the age that we live in, it's not a very popular word. And Paulus again said in 1. Korinther 9:27, Sonder ich bezwinge meinen Leib und beherrsche ihn, damit ich nicht anderen verkündige und selbst verwerklich werde. Sorry, it's a little bit different here on my... It changes them. So, very simply, I want to go over briefly over two of these disciplines.
Ich möchte ganz kurz zwei dieser Disziplinen erwähnen.
And it, again, it's just to give you a taste of the tools that God has given us.
Und ich möchte dir nur Geschmack machen auf diese Werkzeuge, die Gott uns in die Hand legt.
And these are things that are important whether you are interested in missions or not. A book that I always recommend to people about the spiritual disciplines. It's written by the American Quaker, Richard Foster.
Und das wurde von einem amerikanischen Quäker geschrieben, Richard Foster.
And the picture of the book is on the screen. It's called Celebration of Discipline. And I actually found that there is a German translation called Nachfolgefeiern, but it's not very easy to get you know, to get hold of.
Und es gibt auch eine deutsche Version, die nennt sich Nachfolgefeiern, aber das ist nicht so leicht zu bekommen.
So some of you might think, well, actually, you know, I am very much aware of fasting and I practice it regularly.
Und vielleicht denken sich einige von euch,
And I agree. I think there are many people here who are more of an expert than I am on it. But it's good for all of us together to again just briefly look at it and get a taste of the tools that God has given us. So my father is a journalist in South Africa. And one of the things that journalists do is they are very good at asking questions. So whenever they have a new subject, they ask what, who, why, and how. And these are the questions we're quickly going to ask about fasting.
Und diese Fragen werden wir über das Fasten stellen.
So the first question is, what is fasting?
Und die erste Frage ist, was ist Fasten?
And the definition is very simple.
Die Definition ist sehr einfach.
Abstaining from food for spiritual purposes.
Sich von Nahrung enthalten für geistliche Zwecke.
Fasting is not always about food.
Es geht nicht immer nur um Nahrung.
But I am speaking specifically about food since that's usually quite difficult for people. And in a few minutes, my wife might say one or two things about different kinds of fasting. So fasting is not the same as a hunger strike.
Und das ist nicht dasselbe wie ein Hungerstreik.
That's for political reasons.
Das tut man aus politisch motivierten Gründen.
And fasting is not the same as dieting.
Und da geht's auch nicht um Diät halten.
That is for, you know, for clothes and of other reasons. There's 78 times in the Bible where fasting is mentioned.
In der Bibel wird das Fasten 78 Mal erzählt.
And we are told of at least 35 people who fasted.
Und wir kennen mindestens 35 Menschen, die gefastet haben.
The second question is, who should fast?
Die zweite Frage ist, wer sollte fasten?
And the answer really is very easy.
Und die Antwort ist sehr einfach.
It's not me.
Ich nicht.
Because I love pasta.
Denn ich liebe Nudeln.
Nudeln. And my wife is a great cook. And, you know, I am part of this generation that belongs to a new religion. And this religion says you should obey your body. When your body says eat, you eat. When your body says do this, you say yes, master. But your body gets to decide how you live your life and what you do and what you don't do.
Dein Körper entscheidet, was du im Leben tust und was du nicht tust.
And you think I'm joking, but there are actually temples to this religion.
Und du glaubst vielleicht, ich mache einen Witz, aber es gibt tatsächlich Tempel für diese Religion.
And I saw one of the temples driving to church here in Vels.
Und ich habe einen dieser Tempel gesehen, als ich hier in die Gemeinde fuhr.
And you can see these yellow arches sometimes.
Das
then you know, oh, there's a temple. So I lived in Asia, in Korea for 5 years.
Ich habe 5 Jahre lang in Korea gelebt.
And of course, in East Asia, they eat many very strange things to us Westerners.
Und in Asien, da essen sie viele komische Sachen.
So when we saw the yellow line, we would sometimes think, oh, thank God, there's a...
Also immer wenn wir dieses gelbe M sahen, haben wir gedacht, danke, Gott, danke.
More seriously, who should fast?
Aber erst auf jetzt.
A verse from Matthäus 6, Vers 16, Jesus said, wenn ihr aber fastet, that's interesting, when you fast, so this is part of the Bergpredigen, the Sermon on the Mount, and it is applicable to all disciples, and Jesus is just kind of automatically assuming that disciples are people who fast. Wenn ihr aber fastet, so seht nicht düster aus wie die Heuchler, denn sie verstellen ihre Geschichte, damit sie den Menschen als Fastende erscheinen. Wahrlich, ich sage euch, sie haben ihren Lohn darin. So there's just an assumption that disciples are people who fast.
Jesus nimmt also selbstverständlich an, dass Jünger Menschen sind, die fasten.
These are not people who are super radical, missionary, crazy Christians. You know, today, if we hear someone is fasting, maybe especially non-Christians will think that's really radical. But actually, Jesus is saying, no, this is something that every disciple does. The next question is, why do we fast? And I've already kind of alluded to it, but this is the most important question. let's say you decide tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to go study the Bible.
Wenn du dich entschließt, morgen aufzustehen in der Früh und die Bibel zu studieren.
And you know, I know that this is what real Christians do. They get up really early and they study the Bible.
Und ich weiß, das machen die wahren Christen, die stehen wirklich früh auf und studieren die Bibel.
And you go to bed.
Und du gehst ins Bett.
And the alarm goes off the next morning.
Und am nächsten Morgen klingelt der Wecker.
And when the alarm goes off, it's like the war has just broken out.
Und wenn der Wecker läutet, dann bricht der Krieg aus.
Why is there a war?
Warum gibt es hier einen Krieg?
Because you have two, it's almost like you have two different entities living inside of you.
Es ist so, als hättest du zwei verschiedene Kräfte, die in dir wirken.
And the one entity, the spirit, is so excited and saying, hallelujah, let's get up and study the Bible.
Und der Geist spricht, ja, hallelujah, lass uns aufstehen und die Bibel studieren.
And the body says, I don't think so. I mean, it's cold in Austria. And it's nice and warm under the duvet. And it's really interesting to notice how there's a kind of a war going on inside of you about decisions like this. And your body is just used to saying and being the boss. The body is used to saying sleep and eat and you eat and do this and you just obey.
Dein Körper sagt schlaf und du schläfst. Dein Körper sagt iss und du isst. Du bist gewohnt zu gehorchen.
And maybe some of you have heard teachings on healing where in the Bible the examples of Jesus healing people.
Und du kennst in der Bibel diese Beispiele, wo Jesus Menschen heilt.
And oftentimes he would speak directly to the body and he would say be healed in Jesus' name.
Und manchmal spricht direkt den Körper an und sagt sei geheilt in Jesu Namen.
And oftentimes we do this, we pray like this as well.
Und manchmal beten wir genauso auf diese Art und Weise.
And maybe we say to our own bodies, be healed in Jesus' name.
Und wir sagen vielleicht zu unserem eigenen Körper, sei geheilt in Jesu Namen.
And I think the body then replies and says, I always tell you what to do. Now you think you can tell me what to do?
Und ich glaube, unser Körper antwortet manchmal, hey, normalerweise schaffe ich immer an, wo es lang geht. Und jetzt sagst du mir, was ich tun soll?
So one of the reasons that we fast is it's one of the opportunities for us to subdue our flesh to our spirit.
Und eine tolle Sache am Fasten ist, dass wir unserem Fleisch, wir herrschen dann über unser Fleisch.
And where we're actually speaking to the body like to a spoiled child.
Und wir sprechen mit unserem Körper wie mit einem verwöhnten Kind.
And say, I'm really sorry, you are not the boss around here.
Und ich sagte, es tut mir wirklich leid, aber du bist nicht der Boss hier.
The spirit, the real me gets to decide when we get up, when we eat, when we do what.
Mein Geist entscheidet, wann wir essen, wann wir schlafen gehen, wann wir aufstehen.
And I tell you, your body will hate that.
Und ich sagte, dein Körper wird es hassen.
And the first time you fast, you think you are dying.
Und das erste Mal, wenn du wirklich fastest, glaubst du, du stirbst.
And you wake up and you don't eat breakfast and your body's like, why are we not eating breakfast? Well, you know, we need to eat breakfast, we're going to die. Which is nonsense. You know, you can go for weeks. Scientifically, you can go for many weeks without food. Speaking too fast. And by the time lunch comes around, your body is screaming. And of course, it's just nonsense. Your body is just screaming like a child that's been used to having his own way. Another thing that happens, especially the first few times that you fast, is that you are very kind of irritated. Because, it's an opportunity to sharpen your spiritual senses. And this is one of the reasons we fast. We want to sharpen our senses and subdue our flesh. But subduing the flesh is not a nice thing. The Bible uses the word to crucify the flesh. And many times you feel angry and you feel bitter and you feel like you want to fight with people because you cannot have food.
Thank you.
But normally, when you feel like this, what do?
Aber normalerweise, wenn du dich so fühlst, was tust du?
You say, darling, bring me more mayonnaise. And you just put some extra mayonnaise on that thing. And then I feel so much better. But when you fast, you cannot do that. And that's the point. I want to say, God, you need to take my anger and my strife and my irritation. Mayonnaise cannot be my God today. The last question, how do we fast? And my lovely wife is going to give you a few very practical tips that you can use. Meine schöne Frau.
Hello. So how do we fast? Now the Bible does not give us a lot of information about how to fast. And that is probably because in the ancient world most people knew about fasting and most people fasted. And Leon mentioned it earlier that there's so many examples in the Bible of people fasting. You probably know a lot of them, like Daniel, Jesus, Paul, Esther, Moses. There was nations fasting, cities fasting. So pretty much the information the Bible gives us. For example, like Daniel, when he fasted, he was seeking answers from God. And he met an angel. Gabriel came to talk to him. Or another time he fasted for 21 days, 3 weeks. And he had no food and no drinks. And actually he didn't wash either. For 3 weeks. And he was high up in the government, right? And he had this great vision. Or like, you know, Jesus, he fasted for 40 days. Didn't eat or drink anything. He met Satan. And the angels ministered to him. Or like Paul was on a ship and they thought they're going to drown. And they were kind of fasting for 14 days, 2 weeks. I don't know if it really counts because the Bible says they didn't eat and I think they drank, but they didn't eat because they were seasick and nervous. But then an angel appeared to Paul and says, no, everyone will be okay. And then they broke their fast. Or like, you know, of Esther, she had to face the king, and she and her people fasted for 3 days, no eating and drinking. Or Moses, when he got the Ten Commandments from God, he fasted for 40 days, no eating and drinking. And then, like, when Jonah spoke to Nineveh, they fasted. They did not eat or drink anything, and what was cool about that, it was the people and the animals that fasted. So that's kind of what the information the Bible gives, and you can see that there's different times how long you fast. Some people don't eat and drink, some just don't eat. So I don't know about you guys, what experience you have about fasting.
Ich kenne deine Erfahrungen mit dem Fasten nicht.
So today we kind of talk about different kinds of fast as well.
Aber wir möchten heute uns einige Möglichkeiten des Fastens anschauen.
So like the standard fast is where you only drink water.
Ein Standardfasten ist, wenn du nur Wasser trinkst.
Then you get an absolute fast when you have nothing, no water, no drinks.
Und dann gibt es ein absolutes Fasten, du trinkst nichts, du isst nichts.
And then you get a partial fast where you fast like one kind of food or one kind of drink. And then we have an intermittent fast that you just fast for a period of time a day. So let's say you just fast lunch or you fast just from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. 1 to 5 you can only eat. Okay, so for those of you that never ever have fasted before,
für die noch nie haben,
it's always good to start slow.
Es ist gut,
Maybe start with one day.
Beginn mit einem Tag.
Or from lunch to lunch.
Oder vom Mittagessen zum nächsten Mittagessen.
Or like a partial fast, where you just fast one kind of food or drink.
Oder wenn du dir einfach eine Mahlzeit aussuchst, die du auslässt.
And usually the first few days are the hardest.
Meistens sind die ersten paar Tage die schwierigsten.
And of course, it's like breaking the fast. A lot of people find that hard as well.
Und die meisten finden es auch schwierig, mit dem Fasten wieder aufzuhören.
If you maybe fasted for a week, it's obviously not a good idea to go have a steak and break your fast with a big steak.
Wenn du eine Woche fastest, ist es wahrscheinlich nicht besonders klug, wenn du dann gleich ein Steak isst.
And then obviously if you're pregnant or diabetic or you have heart disease, you know, you should talk to your doctor about that.
Natürlich, wenn du schwanger bist oder du hast Diabetes oder Herzkrankheiten, dann ist es gut, wenn du vorher einen Arzt konsultierst.
Okay, now I want to talk to you of what I would call an alternative fast.
Und jetzt möchte ich mit dir über ein alternatives Fasten sprechen.
So this is not necessarily when you fast food.
Da geht es nicht unbedingt darum, vom Essen zu fasten.
It's maybe when you have like a habit or something in your life that you maybe are addicted to that you need to break the power of that over your life.
Da geht es eine Sache, die eine Angewohnheit in deinem Leben ist oder vielleicht auch eine Sucht, die du in deinem Leben brechen möchtest.
For example, I have a friend who decided to fast makeup.
Ich habe eine Freundin gehabt, die hat sich entschlossen, sie wird Make-up.
She felt she cannot go outside of her room without her makeup.
Denn sie fühlte sich so, dass sie nicht aus dem Zimmer hinausgehen kann ohne ihr Make-up.
If she's not wearing makeup, she gets anxious.
Und denn sie wird dann richtig ängstlich, wenn sie kein Make-up um hat.
So for her it was an identity thing.
Da ging's um ihre Identität.
And she was challenged on going for a week without makeup.
Und eine Woche ohne Make-up zu gehen, das wäre überhaupt ganz schlimm.
So maybe for some of you this is like silly, but for her it was a big deal.
Vielleicht ist das für dich dumm, aber für sie war das eine große Sache.
And then obviously these days, you know, something you can think about like an alternative fast would be maybe social media.
Und eine Möglichkeit zu fasten, gerade heutzutage, wäre zum Beispiel nicht das Social Media zu enthalten.
Or you can like go for a weekend without your cell phone.
Oder ein Wochenende ohne Handy.
And for some, though coffee is kind of like food, but I think there's something about coffee that's hard to fast.
Und Kaffee ist auch so eine Art Nahrung, aber das ist auch wirklich hart, Kaffeefasten zu betreiben.
So now I want to do it really practical. I want you to think about something that you could possibly fast.
Und jetzt werden wir wirklich praktisch werden. Ich möchte, dass du über eine Sache nachdenkst, die du fasten kannst.
And it's something that will probably elicit two kinds of responses from you.
Und eine Sache, die wahrscheinlich dir zwei Dinge abverlangen wird.
Or like one of the two, right?
Oder eines von diesen zwei.
So maybe if you think of this thing and you think I have to go one day or longer without this.
Wenn du an eine Sache denkst und du denkst, ich muss einen Tag oder länger davon Abstand nehmen.
And you get anxious.
Und du bekommst so ein bisschen Angst.
And you're like, no, I cannot do that. Oh no.
Du denkst, nein, das kann ich nicht.
I could never. So you become anxious, right?
Du bist also ängstlich.
Or if you become like, no way.
Oder du sagst, nein, auf keinen Fall.
Don't even go there.
Das erwähnen wir gar nicht.
I think coffee elicits that from some people.
Ich glaube, der Kaffee ist für einige von euch sowas.
So if you are stubborn or like, it makes you a little angry.
Wenn du also stur wirst oder ein bisschen zornig.
Okay, so if you one of those reactions about something that you think maybe I should not do it for a day or 3 days or a week.
Also wenn die Sache, die du im Kopf hast, eine dieser zwei Reaktionen bei dir hervorruft,
then it's maybe something you need to fast.
Dann ist das vielleicht genau das, worüber du fasten solltest.
So I want you to close your eyes.
Schließe bitte deine Augen.
And think a bit. You can even ask God to show you.
Und denk ein bisschen nach, frag den Herrn, dass dir was zeigt.
Is there anything that creates anxiousness?
Gibt es da etwas, das Furcht hervorruft?
Or resistance,
oder Widerstand,
if you have to not do it for a while.
Wenn du das eine Zeit lang nicht tun könntest.
So maybe you are thinking now of something.
Denkst du gerade was?
Also now decide how long you think you should fast this thing.
Und denk jetzt auch daran, wie lange du diese Sache nicht tun solltest.
And then when you're going to start,
und wenn du beginnst,
and who you're going to tell.
Wann du beginnst und wem du davon erzählen wirst.
All right, you can open your eyes, I think. Because you need to tell someone, otherwise you might not start.
Du musst nämlich jemandem davon erzählen, weil sonst wirst du gar nicht erst beginnen.
And you don't have to be like super gung-ho Christian.
Und du musst jetzt kein super toller Christ sein.
Don't say you're going to fast for the next year.
Nimm dir kein ganzes Jahr vor.
Start slowly.
Begin langsam.
Okay, and I want to finish with just like having fasting as a as part of your life.
Und ich möchte damit schließen, dass du das Fasten als Lebensstil dir angewöhnst.
I believe God gave us fasting.
Ich glaube, Gott hat uns das Fasten geschenkt.
And feasting.
Und auch das Feiern.
And we should have a rhythm of both.
Und wir sollten einen Rhythmus zwischen beiden haben.
We shouldn't fast all the time.
Wir sollten nicht die ganze Zeit fasten.
We shouldn't feast all the time.
Aber auch nicht die ganze Zeit nur feiern.
We should never not be in the middle all the time where we don't fast or feast.
Und wir sollten aber auch nicht nur in der Mitte, so im grünen Bereich bleiben.
So maybe think about a fast that you can like, or a rhythm between these two that you can continue with.
Vielleicht findest du einen Rhythmus zwischen diesen zwei Dingen, wo mit dem du weitergehen kannst.
Could be maybe like there's two kinds that I kind of thought of.
Ich dachte dann zwei Dinge.
So maybe like during the week you refrain from certain things.
Du kannst eine Woche nehmen, in denen du dich zurückhaltest.
But then on the weekend you can enjoy it.
Aber am Wochenende da genieß es nur.
Or you can maybe like fast once a day per week.
Oder du fastest nur einen Tag pro Woche.
For like 3 months or 6 months.
Für 3 oder 6 Monate.
So things like that is sustainable.
Diese Dinge sind nachhaltig.
And you can keep the rhythm in your life.
Du bekommst einen Rhythmus in deinem Leben.
Okay, so that was just some practical.
Das war ein paar.
And remember what you thought of and who you're going to tell.
Vergiss nicht, woran du dachtest und wem du davon erzählen wirst.
A last thing I want to mention practically about fasting.
Eine letzte Sache, eine ganz praktische Sache, die ich erwähnen möchte.
My wife mentioned many examples of people fasting drink and food.
Meine Frau, die erwähnte viele Menschen in der Bibel, die vom Essen und vom Trinken fasteten.
Most of those examples were supernatural.
Und die meisten dieser Dinge waren übernatürlich motiviert.
It is for the majority of people dangerous to fast liquid and food.
Für die meisten Menschen ist es gefährlich, wenn du nichts trinkst und nichts isst.
So the human body can go for a really long time without food, but some people say maximum 3 days without water.
Du kannst sehr, der menschliche Körper haltet sehr lang ohne Nahrung aus, aber ohne Flüssigkeit maximal 3 Tage.
So be very, very careful before an absolute fast.
Sei also sehr, sehr vorsichtig, wenn du ein absolutes Fasten betreibst.
Especially if you have any kind of medical problem.
Speziell wenn du irgendwie gesundheitliche Probleme hast.
We have about 15, 20 minutes left. I want to quickly talk about study, the second discipline.
Und wir haben noch ungefähr 15 bis 20 Minuten und ich möchte über diese zweite Disziplin, das Studieren, sprechen.
Billy Graham was once asked about his regrets.
Man fragte Billy Graham eines Tages über Dinge, die in seinem Leben bereut.
And he mentioned a few different things.
Und hat einige Dinge erwähnt.
He said he thinks he would have traveled less and stayed home more.
Er sagte, er wäre gerne mehr zu Hause geblieben und hätte gerne weniger Reisen unternommen.
And I thought that was very interesting.
Und ich dachte, das ist wirklich interessant.
And the other thing is, he said he would have liked to spend more time in prayer and study.
Zweitens sagte er, hätte gerne mehr Zeit im Gebet und im Studium verbracht.
And his specific quote is, spend more time in study and prayer.
Und das Zitat lautet folgendermaßen, verbringe mehr Zeit im Studium und im Gebet.
That's the secret of successful evangelism.
Das ist das Geheimnis von erfolgreicher Evangelisation.
Now, I became a Christian in the charismatic church.
Ich habe mich in einer charismatischen Gemeinde bekehrt.
I did not put such a very high premium on study.
Und ich habe auf das Studieren nicht so viel Priorität gelegt.
Especially because I grew up in a church where there was very intellectual but very dry.
Ich bin aufgewachsen in einer Gemeinde, die war sehr intellektuell, aber auch sehr trocken.
And I meet so many charismatic Christians who are like that because their previous church was very intellectual and everyone knew the Bible.
Und ich habe viele Charismatiker getroffen, die genauso waren, weil ihre ursprüngliche Gemeinde sehr intellektuell und trocken war.
And now they are almost the other extreme. They are kind of anti-intellectual.
Und dann sind sie so ins andere Extrem hinübergeschwappt, nämlich anti-intellektuell.
And I have a lot of sympathy because emotionally I can relate to their experience.
Und ich habe da viel Mitgefühl, weil ich mich emotional damit identifizieren kann.
But I think one of my role models, aside from Jesus, is the Apostle Paul. And Paul had one of the best educations, probably the best education of the time.
Und Paulus hatte vermutlich die beste Ausbildung, die es gab zu dieser Zeit.
And yet he was a radical charismatic person.
Und
I mean, Paul did things there that we would be shocked about. You know, the story about his handkerchief being sent to people and then they get healed. If that happens today, we're thinking like, oh, that's a little radical. And yet you read the book of Romans and you read his logic and his knowledge and it's like, wow. And for me, this is a good role model. So I like to read Greek.
Ich liebe es, Griechisch zu lesen.
And I speak in tongues.
Und ich spreche in Zungen.
I have a master's degree in theology.
Ich habe einen Abschluss in Theologie.
And I believe in the powerful prophetic gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Ich glaube an die kräftigen und machtvollen Demonstrationen des Heiligen Geistes.
Listen to what Paul said in Romans 12.
Hör zu, was Paulus im Römer Kapitel 12
sagt. It's a very famous verse. Und seid nicht gleichförmig dieser Welt, sondern werdet verwandelt durch die Erneuerung eurer Sinnes. The renewal of the mind.
Die Erneuerung des Sinnes.
And one person said, God is obviously not anti-intellectual if he told us to renew our minds.
Und jemand sagte, Gott ist mit Sicherheit nicht anti-intellektuell, wenn er sagte, wir sollten unseren Sinn erneuern.
But I quickly want to talk about what does that mean, renewing of the mind?
Ich möchte mal kurz erwähnen, was bedeutet das überhaupt?
It's a phrase that I think every Christian knows.
Das ist ein Spruch, den jeder Christ kennt.
But I wonder if we do not misunderstand it.
Aber ich frage mich, ob wir nicht vielleicht mal missverstehen.
I wonder if we do not think renewal of the mind is kind of like ironing your clothes.
Und ich ob wir nicht denken, dass die Erneuerung des Sinnes irgendwie sowas ist wie die Kleidung bügeln.
I mean, how do you iron clothes?
Wie bügelt man?
You put up the board.
Du stellst das Bügelbrett
and you put the clothes and the iron.
Und das Bügeleisen und du brauchst die Kämpfe.
And then you stand to the side.
Und dann stößt du daneben hin.
And then you say, I iron you, shirt.
Und dann sagst du, ich büge dich, Hemd.
I iron you.
Ich büge dich.
And what effect does that have?
Und was kommt da raus?
It's not necessary, you know, yeah, I mean, maybe some of you have actually tried this, right? It doesn't work. You have to actually go and iron the shirt. And I think renewing of the mind is very much the same. I do not think necessarily praying, Lord, renew his mind in Jesus' name. I don't think that's necessarily a good prayer. And I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. Of course, you can pray. But I think there's a natural element to renewing of the mind that oftentimes we ignore. And to understand this, we have to define what we mean by study.
Wir müssen definieren, was studieren überhaupt bedeutet.
Because when we think of study, we think maybe of university or of college or something like that.
Vielleicht denkst du dann die Schule oder die Universität.
But the very basic definition of study is like the following.
Aber die eigentliche Definition von Studieren ist die folgende.
Focusing the mind on an object through repetition, concentration, comprehension, reflection.
Wenn du deinen Verstand konzentrierst auf Wiederholung, Konzentration, Verständnis und Betrachtung.
So when my wife and I were for the first time romantic,
als meine Frau und ich zum ersten Mal romantisch waren,
and we went on a date,
und wir sind auf ein Date gegangen,
I tell you, I am, there is Wiederholung, there is repetition. We meet again and again and again. And there's concentration. I'm focusing on what she says. And there's Verständnis, comprehension. I want to understand her. I want to make sure she knows I understand her. And there's reflection. Afterwards in my bed, I'm laying and I'm thinking about her face and I'm thinking about the things that she said. That is study. It's not necessarily getting a master's degree or a bachelor's degree. It's just focusing your mind on something with repetition and with understanding.
Das bedeutet nicht, dass du einen Abschluss auf der Uni machst. Da geht's einfach um Verständnis, um Wiederholung, um Reflexion.
So in the Old Testament, God says to the Israelites, I want you to put the scripture everywhere.
Und im Alten Testament spricht Gott zu den Israeliten. Ich möchte, dass ihr die Schriften nehmt und sie überall hinauf.
You have to write it on the posts of the doors.
Schreib sie auf den Türpfosten.
And on your clothes, you need to have these little things that remind you of different things in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And maybe you've seen on some of the movies how the old Jewish people would even have a little box on their head. And inside was a little small copy of the scriptures. But what God is saying is, I want you to be surrounded by something so that you are constantly studying it. And the reason God says that is because your mind will conform to whatever you study. So when Paul says, do not be conformed to the world, but conform to God and to Jesus and the things of God. He's not saying you need to study theology officially. But that you are in some way taking the things of God, like especially the scriptures.
Aber dass du die Dinge Gottes und insbesondere die Bibel nimmst,
and that you with repetition and reflection are thinking on it and taking it in constantly.
Und dass du sie über Wiederholung und darüber nachzusinnen einfach konstant konsumierst.
Yesterday I read an article about four ways that the modern church is very different from the ancient church.
Und letztens habe ich einen Artikel gelesen, der sagt vier Dinge, wie sich die heutige Gemeinde total unterscheidet von der ursprünglichen Gemeinde.
The first church. And one of the ways was that they said a new Christian in the first church spent the first 3 years studying scripture.
In der Urgemeinde da verbrachte ein neu bekehrter Christ 3 Jahre damit, die Bibel zu studieren.
And of course, in today's time, if someone is a new Christian,
und heutzutage, wenn jemand sich bekehrt,
then they spent the first 3 years studying Netflix. Now, I always say to people, I'm not against movies and media, you know. But let's say you take a show on Netflix and for the whole weekend you're going to binge watch one of these shows. Or let's say you spend most of your hours at the work. Work is boring, and you're spending it on BuzzFeed or one of the internet sites telling you information and gossip. And or a magazine or whatever. There is a world view being communicated to you. And sometimes the worldview is not very obvious. It's sometimes hidden under some layers. But you are repeating it. You are repeating it. You are understanding it. You are thinking about it. You are studying it. And the message that is coming to you is a secular humanist worldview. And the Botschaft is, you have to be true to yourself. You know, you should do what makes you happy. Nobody has the right to tell you how to live your life. And don't let anyone tell you what's right and wrong. You get to decide your truth. You decide what's right and what's wrong for you. If someone comes to you and says, here is the truth, that person is narrow-minded and a bigot. This is the worldview oftentimes being communicated through the media. And we have many Christians who are studying these things continuously, and then they come to church and they hear a very different message and they are totally unable to accept it. Why? Because their mind has not been conformed to what God says, their mind has been conformed to something else. And there's actually recent scientific evidence of how your brain physically changes based on what you study.
Es gibt wissenschaftliche Studien und Belege, wie sich dein Gehirn physisch verändert gemäß dem, was du studierst, mit was du es fütterst.
Maybe some of you have read the books of Dr. Caroline Leaf. I think she's South African? Is she South African? American? American? Okay. Caroline Leaf. Where she actually says that this is scientifically proven how your brain changes in reality depending on your object of study.
Und sie hat diese Studien wirklich betrieben, wissenschaftlich bewiesen, dass sich dein Gehirn verändert, dementsprechend, was du studierst.
So, the last message I want to leave with you.
Und die letzte Botschaft, die ich dir mitgeben möchte,
is when Paul says, renew your mind.
Wenn Paulus sagt, erneuere deine Gedanken,
It is not necessarily just a supernatural thing.
Da geht es nicht nur um eine übernatürliche Sache.
It is about priorities.
Es geht um Prioritäten.
And on what we choose to focus on.
Und worauf du dich konzentrierst.
And this is a especially important message for younger Christians who grow up in a social media age.
Und das ist ganz besonders wichtig für euch junge Christen, die in dieser sozialen Netzwelt heutzutage.
And we grow up in a, I don't have my phone, but a constantly connected world that is demanding our attention.
Wir leben da in dieser Welt, wo die permanent unsere Aufmerksamkeit mittels diesem Smartphone erfordert.
And we have to remember that Christians have always been called people of the book.
Und wir müssen uns erinnern, dass Christen wurden immer die Menschen des Buches genannt.
Amen. For the last few minutes,
Amen.
As my wife is again going to give a few practical tips on study and how you can embrace it in your everyday life.
Gib meine Frau, meine wunderschöne Frau, wieder ein paar Tipps.
Wow, you learn fast.
Wie du das praktisch umsetzen kannst.
All right, I'll be quick. This topic reminds me of one of my favorite verses in the Bible.
Dieses Thema erinnert mich an einen meiner Lieblingsverse in der Bibel.
It's Matthew 22:37.
Matthäus 22, Vers 37.
Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind.
Liebe den Herrn mit deinem ganzen Herzen, deiner ganzen Kraft und deinem ganzen Verstand.
So studying is loving God with your mind.
Studieren bedeutet also, Gott mit deinem Verstand zu lieben.
So I'll just gonna name some practical ways of studying.
Ich möchte einige praktische Dinge erwähnen, wie du studieren kannst.
I'm sure most of you know these.
Ich bin mir sicher, die meisten von euch kennen diese.
And maybe you have your favorite way.
Und vielleicht hast du auch schon deine Lieblingsarten und Weisen, das zu tun.
But I also encourage you to try different ways.
Aber ich möchte dich auch ermutigen, mal was anderes auszuprobieren.
Okay, so one way of study is like devotions.
Wir haben also so devotions wie Andachten.
Yeah, Andachten. So devotions is about maybe studying a short piece of the Bible and asking how does it apply to my life today.
Du nimmst also eine kleine Portion Bibel und aus der Schrift und überlegst dir, wie passt das heute, wie wende ich das in meinem Leben heute an.
I mean, we get many devotional books, we get apps.
Es gibt ganz, ganz viele tolle Bücher, sogar Apps.
And then like real study.
Und dann, wenn es wirklich ums richtige Studieren geht.
Is maybe when you study like even different translations, comparing different translations.
Dann vergleichst du vielleicht einfach auch viele verschiedene Übersetzungen.
And you want deeper understanding of what this piece in the Bible says.
Und du möchtest tieferes Verständnis erlangen, was diese Schriftstelle bedeutet.
And you can even read different interpretations about it.
Und du kannst auch verschiedene Kommentare theologische dazu lesen.
And another way of studying is what they call extended reading.
Und dann gibt es auch noch diese Art und Weise des erweiterten Lesens.
Often people just read maybe one or two verses at a time.
Manchmal lesen Menschen nur ein oder zwei Verse.
But with this, you maybe read a whole chapter.
Aber für diese Technik, da liest du ein ganzes Kapitel.
Or even a whole book at a time.
Oder auch ein ganzes Buch in der Bibel.
And it gives you a bigger picture.
Und du bekommst dann dieses größere Bild.
And context.
Und den Kontext dazu.
And then you have systematic studies.
Und dann gibt's auch diese systematischen Studien.
That is when you have one topic.
Wenn du ein Thema herauspickst.
And you see what all the scriptures in the Bible says about that topic.
Und du findest alle Bibelstellen in der Bibel, die zu diesem Thema passen.
Again, this is something you can actually easily find on the internet if you type in a topic and they give you lists of Bible verses and you see the whole picture.
Und da hilft das Internet ungemein, weil du kannst einfach den Begriff eingeben und dir alle Schriftstellen raussuchen lassen.
It's kind of like a puzzle, you know, like you build all these pieces and that's kind of how the church built doctrines too.
Und das ist wie so ein Puzzle, das du zusammenstellst und du kriegst das ganze Bild und so entwickeln sich auch Lehren und Doktrinen in der Gemeinde.
You cannot build a doctrine on one verse, right? You need
keine Doktrin auf einem Vers.
You have to see what the whole Bible says about the topic.
Du musst anschauen, was die ganze Bibel zu diesem Thema sagt.
Okay, and the last one is kind of I added my own one here.
Und das letzte ist so mein eigener Weg, den möchte ich hier hinzufügen.
It's what would maybe be called meditative study.
Und das ist so das meditative Studieren.
And that is when you read something, whether it's a few verses or a chapter or a passage.
Und das ist, wenn du etwas liest, egal ob das ein paar Verse sind oder ein ganzes Kapitel.
And you read it over and over and over and over.
Und du liest es immer und immer und immer wieder.
Maybe the whole week you read the same passage.
Vielleicht eine ganze Woche lang immer dieselbe Stelle.
And it's kind of chewing on it.
Und das ist so wie wiederkauen.
And in a way you memorize it.
Und auf die Art und Weise
And you get like each time you get more revelation from it.
Und jedes Mal bekommst du noch mehr Offenbarung darüber.
Okay, so that's just how we're going to end. This is like practical ideas. And like I said, maybe some of these you know.
Das sind einfach ein paar praktische Ideen, wie du das tun kannst. Vielleicht kennst du die eine oder andere schon.
But I encourage you to try different ways of studying.
Aber ich möchte dich ermutigen, dass du verschiedene Arten und Weisen ausprobierst beim Studieren.
Okay, that's it.
Das war's.
A few years ago, when I was studying, and I was leading worship, you know, like these guys, I was playing the guitar and singing. And many times, maybe an older man would come to me afterwards. And he said, "Why are we singing the song again and again and again, the same one, you know, the same again and again? God is not deaf." And I would say, "Oh, sorry, uncle. We call them uncle in our culture. Oh, I'm sorry, uncle. This is kind of our style, you know." And then 5 minutes later, a young black guy comes to me. And he says, "Why do you stop so soon? You know, I'm just getting started in my worship and then you stop the song." And when my wife was talking about meditation, this immediately comes to mind, how people have so different styles and different ideas. I hope this was helpful. I want to close in a prayer and let's pray. Father, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you that you call us to holiness. That you call us to be different than everyone around us. And this is my heart's desire, and I think it's the heart's desire of everyone here. And you know, Lord, it's not that we want to be holy so that we can impress others. But because we want to be like you. We want to be like you, Father. And we thank you for even practical, simple tools that you've given us. And I pray that you will continue to speak to us on how we can use these things in our lives. To your glory alone.
Amen. Hier endet diese Botschaft. Wir hoffen, Sie wurden dadurch gesegnet. Für mehr Informationen besuchen Sie uns unter www.fcg-wells.at.